Father, Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you that you are here. We thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, we're glad for that. And Father, we want to lift up one of yours to you, and we pray for Bernie Carrot. Lord, we lift him up and pray that you would touch him as he's there in the ER. We pray, Father, that you would heal him, if it would be your will, Lord, that you would just reach down, touch him, heal him completely, and Lord, that the doctors would be amazed, Father, and that that people would turn to you because of that. Father, we also pray that you would comfort him and you would comfort Nancy. Lord, that you would be with them, your presence would be there. Lord, that you are a very present help in time of trouble. Lord, may they feel that even now. And Father, we pray for our service tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified here. That you, Lord, would speak to us through your word. Father, you're an awesome God. Lord, and we now we want to hear from you. We want to delve into your word and allow you, Lord, to make whatever changes need to be made in us. Lord, we also, Lord, we live for encouragement and really, Lord, whatever you would have for us. Please, Lord, open us up to your word now as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 6, part 2, and we're going to look at employees and employers today. Most of us fall into one of those categories. Now, remember, we're still looking at the particulars of what we saw in chapter 5, verse 21, where he told us that we are to be submitting to one another in the fear of God. And we saw a husband and wife's role. We saw the role of children and parents. And now we're going to look at servants and masters. And when you look in the New Testament, or even in the Old Testament too, and you see the word slaves or servants and that kind of thing, it's interesting to know that there were actually several different types of servants back then, several different types of slaves. Some were bought. Some were, you know, bought and sold kind of thing. Some were born into slavery. Sometimes somebody would be bought as a slave or sold into slavery because they couldn't pay their bills. They didn't have anything like bankruptcy then. And if you got too much in debt and you couldn't pay and all of a sudden your creditor or creditors decided, the note's due, bud, pay up, and you couldn't do that, well, they had the right to sell you into slavery to recoup their losses. And there was also slaves that were slaves by choice. I know for us that's just really hard to imagine, right? That somebody would choose to be a slave. But see, what would happen is from time to time, you know, these guys would get sold into slavery to pay off their debt. And sometimes, you know, they would have to work a year or two or three or whatever under Jewish law, as much as 7 years, but then they had to be released. But, you know, sometimes they would get sold into a master that was harsh. It was cruel, mean kind of thing. And after several of those, you know, it's kind of tough. But then if the guy just couldn't keep it together kind of thing, and maybe he ends up now, he's at the home of some guy that's pretty nice, you know, pretty nice guy. He's treating him like one of the family kind of thing. You know, the servant might say to himself, you know what, I keep getting myself into trouble. You know, and next time it might be one of those bad guys again kind of thing. You know what, I've got it really good here. You know, this guy's really good to me, whatever. You know, I want to be his doulos. I want to be his bond servant. And so what they would do, the servant would say, Master, I want to be yours. I want to be your bondservant. And they would go out to the front door of the master's house. And they'd take the servant's ear and hold it against the doorpost. They'd get an awl and drive a hole through the ear and just pierce ears, okay? And it pierced the ear that way. And then they'd take a ring and stick it in the ear. And that ring signified this guy was somebody's servant, but he was a willing servant. Paul calls himself, in fact, most of the letters that he writes, he calls himself a doulos, a bond servant. And that's, you know, what he is. And that's what we're supposed to be, bondservants, slaves willing to Christ. You know, that we're supposed to be willing servants of His, that we sell our rights to Him because He bought us with His blood, as we'll see in a little bit. But He paid for us, and so we're supposed to be His. Now, in our culture, we don't have slaves, praise God, you know, masters, that kind of thing. But really what we have here that would be very similar would be employees and employers. And just like back then, you know, some people just couldn't make it on their own. And, you know, there are those people that have tried to make it on their own, have their own business. And I know several guys that have tried unsuccessfully several times. But for whatever reason, some of the guys, because they just kind of just don't have what it takes to cover all of the bases to run their own business. Some guys just lack self-discipline. I've known several guys like that. When they should be, you know, doing their work and maybe even putting in the extra hours, because they don't have a boss standing over them saying, you do this or you're not getting a paycheck, they go fishing. Nobody's making them work. So they go fishing or they, you know, do whatever they want to do kind of thing. And then it doesn't take long at doing that to where all of a sudden you don't have a business anymore. And so, you know, we see that kind of thing. And really being the boss isn't all what it's cracked up to be. It's not as great as some people think. You know, I used to own a business. I opened up a bike shop down in Tucson. And when our daughter was a teenager, she was working at some kind of burger joint or something like that, I think, at that time. And she was in my shop one time, and I'm working on a bike, and she's over talking to me. She says, yeah, and she's griping about her boss. And I'm like, when I get older, she says, when I get older, I'm going to own my own business. I'm going to be the boss. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Now, some of you that have been there, you're chuckling right now. Because I laughed out loud right then. I said, are you kidding me? Yeah. I pointed to the front door. Our daughter's name is Tori. And I said, Tori, you see the front door right there? Everyone who walks in that front door is my boss. They tell me when I'm going to come to work. They tell me how hard I'm going to work. They tell me what I'm going to do. And if I don't do that, they stop coming through the door. I got thousands of bosses kind of thing. If you own your own business, you know, you'll find that out. And she actually did end up owning her own business and that. But that's the way it is. There's just those, you know, bosses and employees kind of thing. And both of them have their struggles. Both of them, you know, can be tough at times. But something as we get into this and we keep seeing that word servant or slave, something that's really interesting, and sometimes people have a hard time with it, especially people that are in our culture. Because to us, when we read those words, it's actually kind of repulsive. We have a hard time with that. And in fact, so much so now that it is hard for people to think of themselves as slaves of Jesus Christ. We want to look at ourselves as, well, you know, I'm a contractor, you know, kind of thing. I can do whatever I want to do, and that's the way it is. But really, when Christ buys us with His blood, then we're His. And He has a right to be the Lord. He has a right to direct us, and that, and our lives are supposed to be all about His will. But what is a problem here that may bother some folks, and I think it's good to address it right up front, is that God doesn't tell the believing masters to free their slaves. Nor does He tell the believing slaves to run away. Be free, kind of thing. And like I said before, there's some that couldn't make it on their own anyway if they ran away, kind of deal. But it's interesting that He doesn't do that. And in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 20 through 24, He kind of addresses that a little bit. He says, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. In other words, don't sweat it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. See, don't do things that would cause you to be somebody's slave. But if you're somebody's slave, he says, don't worry about it. You belong to Christ, and therefore you have been freed by Christ. You're Christ-freed man. But if you have the opportunity, he says, to be made free, well, then use it. You know, rather use it, he says. In other words, if you can buy yourself out of slavery or one of your family members or that kind of thing, well, then use that opportunity and get free so that you are free now to serve the Lord in whichever way he directs. And understand this. The reason why God does not say, believing masters, set your slaves free, or slaves run away kind of thing, it's not that God is pro-slavery. Far from it. That was never the design from the beginning. Slavery came in because of sin. And the thing is, though, and here's the big thing, God is much more interested in our character than in our comfort. And God can work on our character in no matter what situation we find ourselves in. Whether you are an employer or an employee, whether you work for an awesome boss or whether you work for the biggest jerk in the world, God can work on you there. So often we focus on, if only I could get into a better situation, then my life will be good. Then I will be where God wants me to be. And sometimes God says, no, I've got you right where I want you. And it's sometimes in those situations where God is allowing the boss to be a creep and kind of turn up the heat with us, that's when the junk inside of us starts coming up to the top. That's really the refining process. The Bible talks about God as a refiner, and he refines us like gold and silver, precious metal. And the way, and really to a point, they still do this the same way today, but back then, during the time when the Bible was written, the way a refiner would refine gold or silver is they'd put the precious metal in a pot and heat it up. Heat it up till it was molten, and then the dross, the junk, would come up to the top. He would scoop that stuff off and then heat it up again. And more junk would come up to the top. And he'd keep doing that until it was said that once the refiner scooped off enough stuff, and every time he heated up, nothing came up. If he could look down into the molten metal and see his reflection, then he'd say, all right, we got some pure metal here. Now we can work with this. And really, that's what God does with us. A lot of times, he'll let us stay in that hot pot. he'll let the heat get turned up on us. So the junk inside of us comes up, and we see that and go, oh, Lord, oh, that's not good. He's good. I'm glad you see that. Now let me scoop it off. And then he keeps doing that until he sees his reflection in us. See? And that's what he wants to do. And so really what the biggest thing is, that no matter where you're at, whether you are an employer or an employee or back then a slave or a master, it's how you behave. Why? What kind of a witness are you as an employee or as an employer? Do you reflect the love of Christ? Are we living that orderly life that God has said that we should be living? In 1 Timothy 6:1, he says, let as many bondservants as are young, under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. See, if you're a follower of Christ, like I mentioned before, life is not about you anymore. You belong to Jesus. And so how we are to live should be a reflection of who he is. And we don't want to live in such a way that the Lord or the doctrine of Christianity would be blasphemed, would be spoken against. So verse 5 now of Ephesians 6, he says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. So, masters or bosses. And he says, according to the flesh. See, what that means is, a master or boss or whatever, according to the flesh, is somebody that's out in the world, as opposed to those who are in authority within the church. He's saying this is how you're supposed to act about those people that are out there. A lot of times we think we only have to put on our Jesus looks when we're at church. We only have to act like Christians while we're here, and then when we're out there, we can live however we want. And you know, you see that sometimes when people come into church, you see the parking lot conversions. You know, yelling and screaming at each other until they hit the parking lot. And they're like, hey, how you doing, brother? Kind of deal. But God is interested in our character while we're out there. And it's wrong, and I heard Christians do this, it's wrong to say, well, he's just a heathen jerk, man. It doesn't matter, you know, what I do towards him. Oh, no, it does matter. And God says that, you know, to those, you know, who are your masters according to the flesh. And we're to be obedient to our bosses, even if they're not believers. Now, you may say, but what if he is a jerk? What if he's really mean? What if he's a really hard guy to work for? Well, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. See, he includes church there, not just to the good and the gentle. When I was in my early 20s, I was working for this company, driving a tanker. And supervisor that I had before, he and I got along real good. And, you know, I always tried to be the best kind of employee I could be. And at that point then, I was senior driver and blah, 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 blah. You know, everything was cool. And one day I got to work and I had heard we were getting a new boss, that we were getting a new dispatcher. And I had already put in about, I think, 11 or 12 hours. And you're regulated as to how many hours you can work. And this new guy, Ed, comes out with a piece of paper in his hand. And I'm checking my truck out, finishing up, and making sure it's ready for the next guy, fueling it and all that. And he comes out and shoves this paper in my face and says, here, run it. And I look at it. And I said, you must be the new guy, huh? My name's Tony. And I put up my hand, shook his hand and all. And so I said, you know, it's good to meet you and all. You know, I'm looking at this here, and I just came by that refinery right there, and there's a line out the gate there. If I go down there right now, you will have to send somebody to come and get me and bring the other driver over there, because there's no way that I can even load that. I'm almost out of hours, and it went on, and I was explaining to him I don't know if you know how things go around here, but the owner of the company does not want us doing anything illegal, nothing over hours, nothing overweight and all that stuff. And he says, oh, you're refusing to run it? I said, I'm not refusing to run it. I'm telling you, I can't run it. You know, I will be out of hours, you know, that kind of thing. And during the course of the conversation, we went back and forth like that. I said, you know, what we usually do on that is if there's a hot load, then they'll get on the radio and say, hey, would you stop by and load this? And then they'll call the next driver, the night shift, or in my case, I was day shift, and call the night shift guy. And he'll be here waiting when the truck comes in. And then he can do his pre-check. I can do my post-check at the same time. And he can boom, boom, out of here and go deliver it with no sweat. You know, and he says, so you're going to run it? I said, I can't. And he says, you're refusing to run it. And we went back and forth. Finally, I just said, call it whatever you want, but I can't. You know, you're going to have to get the next guy to do that. I can't do this. And so he stormed off. And then he talked about a mean boss. For the next year, my life was miserable. You know, he tells me the next day, I come in, I'm turning in all my paperwork and everything. He says, you don't mind coming in early, so why don't you come in? And I usually was supposed to start at 5 in the morning. He says, come in at 4 tomorrow. Okay. And so he had me coming in at 4 tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next. And then after about a week or two, hey, come in tomorrow at 3. You know, I was like, okay, come in at 3. You know, and then come in at 2. And pretty soon I'm coming in at 10 o'clock at night, and I'm the day shift driver kind of thing. And he was doing all kinds of stuff like that. And he was doing that to a lot of the other guys too. And we had lost a bunch of drivers. And I kept praying about, Lord, I'm supposed to be submissive to my boss, not just to the good and gentle, I know that, but also to the harsh. And I'm praying, Lord, I want to be a good witness. I want no one to blaspheme, because the whole company knew I was a believer. They knew I was a Christian. And this went on for a year. And And one day, I was checking the truck out, and I'd been praying while I was out there driving, and I felt like the Lord was saying, today is the day. Go tell Hal, the owner of the company. Go tell him what's going on. It's okay. And so I checked the truck in, and I'm just walking to the office to turn in my paperwork, and here comes the owner of the company. Here comes Hal. And I said, hey, Hal, how you doing? Hey, Tony, how you doing? And I was like, well, you know, I'm doing okay, but I really need to talk to you. Do you have a couple minutes? He said, sure, man, for you, anytime. And so I started telling him what was going on. He goes, ah, man, Tony, I wish you would have told me a long time ago. But you know what? You don't have to worry about that. We just fired Ed today. And, you know, it was the Lord showing me that because I was wanting to do what he wanted me to, because I wanted to submit in that, and it was hard, folks. It was very hard sometimes. That God had really given me honor with the owner of the company and that kind of stuff. But also, it was one of those deals where I outlasted the guy. And, you know, God blessed me for that. And I was able to maintain a good witness there, kind of thing. But it's hard. I'm telling you from experience. It can be hard sometimes when you're working for somebody, you know, that's on some power trip. Somebody that's really a creep, kind of thing. And really, this guy ran off like three of our best drivers, I think it was. And that was really the motivation that, man, this company's going downhill, and it's a good company. You know, the boss is a great guy and all that. But God wants us to be submissive to those that are over us, even if they're harsh, even if they're not great people, kind of thing. It's about what we do towards Him, towards the Lord. And as we'll see here. Now, He says to do it with fear and trembling. And really what that means is that we're not to have a flippant attitude towards obedience to the boss. You know, it's not supposed to be, well, if he doesn't like it, tough. You know, well, that's what he said, but who does he think he is? Well, he's the boss. That's who. And God says that we should do it with fear and trembling. And He says we're to obey in sincerity of heart. I like the way the Amplified Bible puts it. In singleness of motive and with all your heart. So that should be our heart's desire. That should be really the driving force while we're at work, is to please the boss. And in doing so, we know we'll please the Lord. And He says to do it as to Christ. Now, that can be taken two different ways. Either is He saying as to Christ in that, you know, obey in sincerity of heart in the same way you are serving Christ, you know, as to Christ, just like you're serving Christ, do it the same way. Or what it could mean is that when you're being obedient and you're being a good witness, you're actually serving Christ in doing that. And really, when you get right down to it, both of those things are true. Both of those aspects of that are true. Problem is, a lot of believers, though, aren't that concerned as to whether or not they're pleasing Christ in their day-to-day living. And we should be, folks. We should take this seriously, like He says here, fear and trembling kind of thing. We should be serious about how we live. As we've been seeing, God does give us direction no matter what kind of a situation that we're in. Whether it's a husband or wife position that we are in, whether it's a child-parent position that we are in, or an employee-employer position. Whatever our place, or as He said before, whatever your state, you know, whatever the condition that you are in, whatever place you are in that God has you in right now, God is concerned as to how we live, how we are really showing or being an example of what a believer is all about. Now, in 1 Peter 4:11, he does tell us this. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know what dominion means, right? The rule. The rulership. That He belongs. That rulership belongs to Him. He has the right to tell us, do this or don't do that. Go this way, don't go that way. He paid for us. He has the right to be the Lord in our lives. We call Him Lord, right? We should be very concerned about Him being Lord in our lives, that in all things God may be glorified. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, He says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." That should be our deep desire, to glorify God. That's the way we should be living. We need to ask ourselves, I think on a daily basis, what I'm doing right now, what I'm about to do, what I've been doing, does that glorify God? Does my attitude towards my employees or towards my employer, is that right? Does that glorify God? Now, if Jesus really is Lord, and Lord really, you know, in our vernacular means boss. He's the guy who calls the shots. He's the ruler. Then our desire should be to please Him and to glorify Him. And if He is Lord, or maybe, you know, we'll go out on a limb and say, since He is Lord, right? Okay? Are we okay with that one? Since He is Lord? You know, then we should be doing that then, huh? We should be living that way. And then if we're living that way, as we should, then we should be living that way to our boss, to the one who is employing us. We should be seeking to please Him in the right way, with the right attitude. Now, verse 6, he tells us, here's one of the right ways. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, we shouldn't be doing what the boss has told us to do just when the boss is looking. We've all been there, haven't we? Goofing off, just on, oh, here comes the boss. Oh, man, oh, boy, yeah, I'm working hard, man, you know, kind of thing. Just to impress the boss. Just, you know, doing, really, that's just doing it when you're being seen. Not really doing a great job, but you're acting like you're a great employee. You're trying to impress while he's watching without really being what you are. I mean, really, there's an element of hypocrisy there. But God says, don't do that. Don't be somebody that's just serving with eye service as men pleasers, he says. See, somebody that's living that way, that's just performing when they're being watched, when the boss is there, you know, standing over their shoulder or within eyeshot of them, then they're just really being a man pleaser or a woman pleaser, if you will, you know, and they're not really living or working to please God. They're not really from the heart wanting to do a good job so as to give God glory. Because, folks, God sees all the time, right? I mean, whether the boss is in the room or not, truth of the matter is, God is always there. God is with us and He wants us to be sincere. He wants us to serve not as a man-pleaser, but as a God-pleaser. He doesn't want us to be phony kind of thing. You know, He wants us, as He says here, to live, you know, we're as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's how we ought to be. Sincerely living and working to do God's will. From the core of our beings, that's how we should live. Is to do what we do to bring honor and glory to God. See, it's also, you know, in when you think about it, in really having that desire to do what pleases God by pleasing the boss, that really does eliminate that whole attitude of, well, it's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. You ever heard that one? You know, some employee like, well, you know, my boss probably won't like this, but I want to do it anyway. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. And if he gets mad, then I'll ask for forgiveness. I don't want to ask for permission because then he'll say no, and then I can't do it. That's a wrong attitude, isn't it? That's not what God is talking about here. See, at the core of that person's desire is to do their own will, not God's will. If you really want to do God's will, then even if your boss wants you to do something that you don't want to do, you still do it. You do what the boss wants you to do because you know that's God's will, and you know you're pleasing the Lord at that point. Now, verse 7, he says, with good will. See, as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. See, that should always be our focus. doing what we do with goodwill or with the right attitude, with the right heart, because we're doing what we do as to the Lord, who sees the heart, not just like the people see. See, your boss may see you working real hard, even if you are working real hard. But if you have a bad attitude, as long as you keep your mouth shut and he doesn't look at you in the eye, he might never know that you're really mad and you don't like what you're doing and, you know, you're really upset and you, man, you just, I hate this, I hate you, I hate everything, but I'm going to do this because I have to, you know, all that stuff. But if you have the right attitude, with goodwill, as he says, and you're doing it as to the Lord, saying, Lord, I want to do the best job I can because of you, because I want to please you. And so, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter what kind of job you do. I know what some of you do, but it doesn't matter what you do. It's how you do it. And if you're really putting 100% into it and saying, Lord, this thing that I'm building or this class that I'm teaching or the whatever, you know, these vending machines that I'm filling, or, you know, I want to do the best job for you, Lord. And I'm going to do that for you, because that way, you know, when somebody looks at the work I've done and they find out it's me that has done that job, that they'll say, wow, that's an awesome employee. That's a great job. That's, you know, great work that they have done. And then maybe I can have an opportunity to share it's because of the Lord. That's the way God wants us to work. See, if this is to be the attitude of a believer here, this is something else. This is kind of a side little note, but I think it's worth saying. Because there has been problems in this area. But if this is to be the attitude of the believer at a secular job, according to the flesh, as he said, how much more within Christian ministry should this kind of attitude be, huh? You know, serving in the church, we should be doing this as well, too, right? And this is, it should be double that way. But now, remember, God sees all the time. Your employer only sees every now and then. And sometimes he sees when you don't think he sees. I mean, I was working at a job one time, and, you know, and I was a young Christian, but I had read some of these things. I want to be that. And so I was always working really hard. And then another employee told me, hey, man, I was talking to the boss, and he mentioned you because he knows that we're friends. He's really impressed with the way you work. He thinks you're one of the best employees we got. I said, really? Me? Oh, yeah, he's been watching you. And I had no idea he was looking at me. But see, even if the boss doesn't see you, even if you don't get that pat on the back, even if you don't get the attaboys or the big bonus or something like that, God does see you. God does reward, because he sees all the time. In verse 8, he says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Whether you're an employee or an employer, it doesn't matter. The Lord is over all, and the Lord will judge all. And the reward that we earn doing whatever we do, sometimes it's not until we get to heaven. It's not until we get there that we receive the reward. And that should not cause us to work any less hard just because, well, I'm not going to get rewarded right here and now, so I'm just going to put my feet up. I'm going to coast as much as possible. No, we should be working real hard because we know that the Lord sees, and the Lord will judge. In Romans 2:6, it says, who will render to each one according to his deeds. He renders or gives to each of us according to our deeds. He's not talking about salvation. Salvation is a free gift. But once we are saved, now that's another story. Once we are saved, there will be rewards or lack of rewards. And if you think you get bummed out now because you don't get the pat on the back, you think you get bummed out right now because you didn't get the big bonus, or, you know, you didn't get the big office or whatever it is, imagine what it'd be like going through eternity without getting the bonus, without getting the rewards. And I know so many people say, I just want to get to heaven, that's all I care about, all that stuff. And I always think, you know, with the kind of attitude that you have, man, are you sure you're getting to heaven? Kind of thing. Again, man, if you love the Lord, I mean, you should want to please him. And if you could care less if you're pleasing the Lord or not, all you care about is squeaking in. And, you know, like the one scripture talks about, some will be saved as by fire. You know, it's like all you care about, okay, I'm in here, I'm patting out the flames, man. No rewards, and yeah, they're going to call me old Smokey, you know, for the next 1,000 years. But I'm here, I'm in heaven, kind of thing. That's a wrong attitude. It should be that we desire to please the Lord. But we will be rewarded. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Again, not about salvation, it's about rewards. The judgment seat of Christ is just for believers. It's not for unbelievers. It's when we stand before the Lord and he gives us the rewards. And, you know, I want to see you rewarded. I was like, when I'm standing on the sidelines, I was like, hey, I was their pastor, you know. And I want to see the Lord heap all kinds of rewards on you. It's like, yes, yes, kind of thing. I don't want to be the pastor, the guy that's just putting out the flames. Kind of it's like, you know, you get a half a dozen of those guys in a row, and everybody starts looking at you. Oh, you were their pastor, huh? What were you teaching, dude? Now I got to go through eternity like that, you know? But seriously, we should be concerned about that. Now, before we move on from employees, let's look at what Paul tells Pastor Titus to teach the servants. It's something that he is supposed to teach as a pastor. In Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, "Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Now, not answering back means that you don't talk back. It means not to be argumentative or contradicting. And remember, when we first got on this whole series here of submitting, we saw that that word submitting literally means getting in order according to rank. And it comes right out of the Greek military language. And that's what it means, to get in order according to rank. So think about this. Even though this is America, and I'm not a slave, and all that kind of stuff, and you know, you have the right to walk off of a job and all that, knowing what the Lord says and that we are to be submitting and not talking back, think about what would you do if you were in the military at that point? You know, some of you have been in the military. And you know, if you're a private and the sergeant says, go dig a hole right there, you'll go dig the hole. You don't argue. Hey, you dig the hole, man. I don't want to dig the hole. I dug the hole yesterday. Kind of thing. You guys know, so you're laughing because you know that would not fly, right? Well, think about this word submitting being a military term and how that's how we're to think about our bosses. Look, he's the guy in charge. You know, if the fact that he or she is the one signing your paychecks isn't enough to motivate you, then understand, look, the Lord's telling you to submit. And again, that whole military concept kind of thing. But he also says, not pilfering. Some translations say, not thieving. I like the way the Amplified Bible puts this one. Nor to steal by taking things of small value. Stealing a little is still stealing. And a lot of people do that. And it doesn't matter what it is that you're taking. If the boss hasn't given it to you, if your company hasn't given it to you and said, yeah, sure, go ahead and take that, then you're taking it without permission, then you're stealing. It doesn't matter whether you're stocking your home, you know, with stationery and pens and pencils from work, or maybe sneaking some food, you know, if you're working in the food service industry, or even if it's surfing the web while you should be working. All of that is taking from your boss something that he or she has not given to you. It's stealing. You got to look at it like that. He says, showing all good fidelity. You're really speaking in the whole honesty and the character again. Again, the Amplified Bible puts this, to prove themselves truly loyal and entirely reliable and faithful throughout. See, if the boss catches you stealing something, even if it's a little thing, you're going to be deemed a thief. That's what's going to be in his mind. It doesn't matter, little or lot, whatever. That's how he's going to see you. But we're to show ourselves honest and trustworthy, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot. Whether it's a pin or $1,000. We're to show ourselves as trustworthy. And again, he comes back to the reason why we're to live this way. He says, that they may adorn the doctrine of God in our Savior, God our Savior in all things. In other words, that they, the servants, the employees, would adorn or make beautiful, make attractive the doctrine of God our Savior in all things and whatever they do. The Net Bible puts that, in order to bring credit to the teaching of God our Savior in everything. The NIV words it, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. I mean, think about that. See, you might be the only Bible that your boss or your co-workers ever read. And you're going around, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, you know, I go to Calvary Chapel. I've been a Christian for a long time, you know. But what impression are they getting from you? What impression are they giving of the gospel or of Christ? You know, is it, hey, wow, man, Jesus makes good people. He makes good workers. Every Christian I employ, man, they're always on time. In fact, they're early. They work really hard. They're the best workers I got. They put out more production than anybody else. They never argue with me, man. They've always got a good attitude. I got to check into who Jesus Christ is. I got to find out about this whole thing. Or do they say, you can't trust a single one of them? When you're not looking at them, man, if you're not watching them, they're ripping you off. They're lazy, whatever. You got to think about that. Our witness, folks, is very important. You think about it. God could have raptured each of us the day we got saved. He could have caused it to where as soon as you say the sinner's prayer, poof, you're gone. And he could have, he could have used some other method of preaching the gospel. He could have used angels. The Bible tells us that. At one point, the rocks cried out, right? actually, Jesus said, if these people hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. So he could use rocks, right? And God could use a number of different things. And so he could have made it to where as soon as we could say, boom, we're out of here. But see, God wants to show what he can do through you and I. He wants those that don't know him to understand what kind of a God he is. And so he wants us to be the kind of employees that would say, our God is an awesome God. Now, verse 9, on the other side, he says, and you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. You might be a boss at work, but if you are a believer, you have a boss in heaven. And folks, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to answer to him, like we said. And you know what? Even if you are the boss, the Lord is not going to be impressed with your title. Well, I was the COO, of my God. I was the owner-operator of this or that or whatever. So, it's nothing to the Lord. And we're to be Christ-like. We're to be Christ-like. If you're the boss, you're going to be Christ-like bosses. You know what? You got to think about, how does Jesus lead? How did Jesus lead when he was on the earth? You never see him threaten the disciples, do you? You never read, and Peter said one more dumb thing, and Jesus said, as he grabbed him by the collar, Peter, I said, shut up or else. You don't read that. One more word, Peter, and you're toast. Okay, you don't, if God was that kind of God, we'd all be toast. But God doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't lead us that way, does he? If you think that's the way Jesus is leading you, you got the wrong Jesus. You got the wrong idea about who the Lord is. He's a gentleman, for one thing. But he's kind. He's tender. He's loving. He's compassionate. So we need to lead as he leads. He says, give up threatening. Really, he's talking about stop using intimidation to lead by. You know, if you're a boss that always says, you want to get fired? You know, you better do this or else kind of thing. You need to stop it. See, there may come a time when you have to fire someone. And I've been there, you know. I was the owner of the company for over 6 years, and there were times I had to let people go. And you know, thing is, you might not like it, but you might need to do that. But if it's time to let somebody go, let them go, but don't keep threatening them. Don't try and run the business by being a bully. And if there's somebody that's having a problem or whatever, you're a boss, then sit them down and talk to them. Say, look, maybe you don't understand how to do this. Maybe you don't understand really what I want you to do. And you try and lead the way the Lord leads. You try and be as Christ-like as you can. You try and be fair. You try and, you know, if you're the owner of the company, then you pay a fair wage. You expect decent work, yes. And you don't intimidate. You don't bully. If somebody just won't get it together, then it may be time to fire them. But you're not to be threatening them all the time. And folks, the bottom line, though, as we kind of wrap it up here, it doesn't matter where you and I are in society. It doesn't matter whether you're at the top of the ladder or whether you're just a lowly peon, you know, one of the minions. Is that what it was for the little yellow guys with the goofy eyes and all? So if you're just one of the minions, you know, it doesn't matter that, or if you're somewhere in between, you're middle management or whatever. The thing is, we're all going to stand before the Lord, and you know, I want to hear for myself, but like I was kind of saying before, I want to hear for you. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to be on the sidelines when the Lord says that to you. But that's how it's going to happen. If we take these things seriously and say, Lord, I want to please you. And from here on out, that's the way I'm going to live. It doesn't matter where you're at, but whatever you're doing, Lord, I know I'm going to stand before you, but Lord, I want to please you. And really, more than just the whole judgment thing and the rewards and all that stuff, as believers in Jesus Christ, as those who are born again, we should be, all of us should be, so madly in love with Jesus that when he tells us how to conduct ourselves, we should, out of love for him, eagerly obey him by living the way that he wants us to. Amen? All right. Next week, we should finish Ephesians 6, and we'll look at the armor of God. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, help us to take these things to heart. Lord, it's so easy to feel your conviction, to know, ooh, this is something I've got to change, and then to wake up tomorrow morning and just go back to our daily routine that we were living before we were ever spoken to by you. Father, help us to take this to heart. Lord, help us, and not just convicting us to the point of change, but Lord, help us to remember that you loved us so much, that you died for us. And Lord, help us to love you enough to obey you. Lord, give us the strength also to obey you, that we would be found well-pleasing in your sight, no matter where we're at in society, no matter what our job. Father, may we be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.